This is Author Talk, brought to you by Author House, the leading provider of services to help authors publish, promote, and sell their books. Author Talk is produced by TogiNet Radio, on the web at toginet.com.
The title of the book, It's Your Decision, A Common Sense Guide to Making Better Choices, and the authors are Albert Federero and Denise Schmidt. And Al and Denise joins us now on Author Talk. Hello.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Good to have you on the show. Now, help us understand why you wrote this book, It's Your Decision, A Common Sense Guide to Making Better Choices.
Well, we realized, first of all, we should tell you, we both worked in a community college for over 30 years in a career services environment, and we worked with literally thousands of people of all age groups, traditional age students coming right out of high school all the way up to retirement age. And we realized in working with people that a lot of people came to us because they weren't that happy with some things. And in discussing their issues, it always ended up that they just never really learned how to make a good decision. And we realized that, you know, the big picture is the quality of someone's life is really based on the quality and the outcome of the decisions that they make. So that was our, reason for putting the book together. We wanted to give people a common sense approach to making good decisions about areas of their life that really make a difference in terms of what the quality of their life is going to be.
You can jump in anytime, Denise. I'm not trying to just do one person. I'll edit this out. Okay. I just wanted to make that certain. I will always wait if you'd like to make a comment.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Great.
Well, decisions, my goodness, every day there are decisions being made. Are you talking about daily decisions, or are you talking about the long range, the big goal, big achievement that you're shooting for down the road?
Well, we're certainly not talking about the little decisions you make all day, what to have for dinner and, what to wear and which car to drive, but we've identified in the book what we refer to as seven big tickets. Issues, areas of our lives that call for decisions that will have a pretty direct impact on the direction that our lives take. It could be a decision about what college to attend. It could be relationships, whether it's peers that a student picks in high school or a mate that a person picks for life. It could be issues surrounding employment, and certainly that's what Al and I dealt with most of the time because we were dealing with folks who had either the need for a job or the need to change job to fulfill some passion. So we really are speaking in terms of the big decisions, the ones that call for some thoughtful process to achieve, as Al pointed out, favorable outcomes.
Another thing, Steve, too, is the way the economy is right now, and the fact that so many people are struggling economically and losing half their 401ks, a lot of parents especially cannot afford having their children make mistakes about their education and careers and majors, things like that. And I don't know if you're a parent, but I'm sure there's parents that are going to be listening to this, that everybody knows a story of where somebody went off to a very expensive college and paid $35,000, and the kid either flunked out, dropped out, or changed their major three times. And if they do that, they're going to end up staying in school another year or two, and that ends up becoming a $30,000 to $60,000 mistake. So that's one of the, examples of a big ticket decision.
You're treating this decision making that it is a skill. You've got to develop it.
Absolutely. Practice makes perfect.
And there are principles that govern that kind of process.
Yes, indeed.
In teaching decision making, and I think what we realize as we over the years when we work with people is they really don't know how to do it. And you can read a lot of books about decision making, but we tried to simplify it in a way that they would understand it, which is, I don't know if you want me to go through the whole six steps, but I mean, the first thing you have to do is be able to identify what the decision is clearly so people understand it. Then somebody has to know what their specific needs and wants are that are relevant to their decision-making, not somebody else's wanting them to do something. Third thing is they have to identify what the alternatives are and then take time to research those alternatives and then select or take action and you know, to implement that decision. But a lot of people just don't know how to do that. And when you talk to them about their unpleasant situation, as soon as you tell them that the reason that happened, that ended up unfavorable, was because they just didn't go through the process. They cheated themselves by just, like, for example, if somebody wants to pick a college, you know, they'll pick a college because that's where their father went, and it's in the middle of Iowa in a cornfield, and they have no idea that when they get there, it's not going to be what they thought college was supposed to be about. So they pick the college without going through all the preceding steps ahead of time. So it doesn't matter what kind of decision it is. It's the same process whether you're picking a college, a career, a mate, you know, your leisure time. It's the same process. So once you learn it, it's a lifetime skill.
Chapter 2 talks about what kind of life. Now, a lot of people really have a tough time with that question.
Well, I always, when I taught in every class and every group I've ever talked to, and plus one-on-one, I always say to people, you know, I ask them, do you know anybody 75 years old? And if they don't, I tell them to go find one, you know, on a bench at the park or something or at the mall, and ask them one question. And that question is, what kind of life did you have? And then listen to the response. And you're either going to get, you know, I had a great life, or I had the opposite of that. And so we ask people, you know, what kind of life do you want? And what kind of life would you like? And how would you like to be able to answer that question yourself when you're 75 years old? So, you know, that's basically, yeah, what kind of life do you want? And make them realize that the answer to that question is going to be the outcome of the decisions that they make, especially in the 7 big ticket areas.
Well, of course, most people would say, well, I want to be successful. I want to be happy.
Right. Well, happy, I love that when somebody says they're not happy or happy, because what does that really mean? And whose definition determines what happiness is and unhappiness is? And what I found in working with people, when they come in and say, oh, I'm not happy, I got to say, hey, give me something to work with. You know, which part of your life are you not happy with? Is it the wrong college? Are you in a relationship that you wish you had never gotten into? Do you hate the environment that you work in? Are you disappointed in the quality of your wellness and health? I mean, are you overweight? Do you drink? You know, what is it about your life that's caused you unhappiness? And when we can pinpoint that, or they can pinpoint it, then they have to take action and make a decision that's going to change. And if they don't want to change, like you said earlier when we were talking, a decision to do nothing means you're going to accept your current state of affairs, and if that is not making you happy, then that's life, and you have to be mature enough to say, I'm going to make some changes, I'm going to make some good decisions, and that's why people go back to college, that's why people, you know, change jobs and things like that.
This is a natural process, it's a life process. I once heard someone say there are no shortcuts on the farm, so it's the same thing. I mean, this is life, you have to go through the process. And that's what you're trying to help people see.
Yeah. And we don't, you know, we make it on the one hand sound simple in that it's just these 6 steps. They're not hard to remember. They're not hard to understand. But what we don't want anyone to think is that just because there are 6 steps that are easy to remember, that they're quick. It is a deliberate process. As Al mentioned, it involves, you know, figuring some things out about yourself. Let's say it's a college decision. Looking at the college options that you have, what do you need? What do you want? What are your issues? Looking, doing some research, and then kind of working with those alternatives. And then most importantly, once you've made a decision, taking action on that decision. And we make that point in the book too. A decision isn't really done. It isn't a decision until you act upon it and actually pursue a plan of action. So it's not quick and easy, but it is tried and true.
It's a process. It's not an event. You know, that's what we're trying to get schools to realize, that, you know, it takes from freshman year to the end of the senior year to really learn everything about yourself and make sure you're going to pick the proper path for yourself, you know, education, career, everything. And, you know, I have pretty heated discussions with counselors and parents all the time about kids being too young and to make these decisions. And, you know, they didn't know what they wanted to do when they were 17. Well, when I was 17, it cost less than $1,000 a year to go to college. So I could afford to make a mistake here and there. And not pay, you know, for it the rest of my life. But now when a person makes a mistake like that, costing their family a lot of money to undo those mistakes.
So. Well, it also doesn't seem to make sense to say they're too immature to do it and yet expect them to do it. Students at the age of 17 and 18 are picking colleges as we speak. So what we want to do is give them the tools they need to make the decisions and to make them in a way that is going to turn out to be right for them, to the extent that we can do that.
And this book is the foundation for a much bigger enterprise that you're trying to do, like you say, creating cultures. Is it called For Student Success?
It's Creating Cultures for Student Success, yes. And the book grew out of our experience here at the college, but once that kind of, it has since morphed into a much bigger project and a bigger passion for both of us, and that is, we believe that by introducing this book to secondary school educators and administrators and also to those at the college level and perhaps even in other arenas that we're beginning to explore, to make this book available to students, let's say, in the high school as they enter high school, help them to understand the process, the decisions they're going to be asked to make, the issues in their lives that will direct their lives and how those decisions will play into that. And we've worked out a program called Creating Cultures for Student Success, wherein high schools will incorporate some other pieces, some tools that will help students develop teams and in their school that will help them to achieve success. And we understand that they are immature, they are young, they are have different levels of ability, but by having others in the community and in the school and that they choose, help them and support them through this, we're hoping to make a difference, not to fix all the problems, but to make a difference in terms of student retention and students making better choices than to drop out or to turn to drugs, making wrong decisions about friends and so on. So, and then it carries over certainly into the college and in many ways beyond that.
And it's never too late to start, as one of your chapters is titled.
Absolutely. The sooner the better, of course, but we can, we've all, even with this process, all of our decisions will not necessarily pan out the way we had hoped. Circumstances change. The economy today is telling a lot of people who thought they had a plan for a career and a future that just maybe they're going to have to make a new decision. That happens. We have to allow for that.
And Steve, to reinforce, it's never too late. I was watching CNN over the weekend, and there was a job search expert on there, and they had people calling up the TV to get, you know, support and help. And it was a 60-year-old woman who called in, and she was trying to, you know, get a new job and so on and so forth. And that came up in discussion, and the guy said, absolutely not. It's never too late, you know, to redirect yourself and make decisions and change your career, you know, get a job and so on and so forth. So in our environment, in the community college, believe me, if we didn't follow that concept, half the people going to community colleges wouldn't be here because everybody can come back and get reeducated and learn new technology and become marketable, especially with the labor market and the projected labor market and what it's going to be by the year 2025. I mean, age is not going to be a factor. It's going to be skills and abilities to get the job done. So you have to stay educated and you have to make good decisions.
So how do you make that best career choice?
How do you make the best career choice?
Right.
Well, first of all, you really have to know yourself. I mean, you have to know what your values, your interests, and your skills are. And once you do a good self-assessment of those things, then you have to say, okay, if this is who I am and this is what I'm good at doing, where do I fit into the world of work? What environment? And what we, in the book, we talk about whether you're picking a major or picking a job or whatever, initially you should be able to get off the right exit, which means, for example, somebody might be interested in education. Well, get off the right exit and then research the field of education and make a decision whether you're going to be an elementary teacher, a middle school teacher, a high school teacher, a college professor, a principal, a guidance counselor, you know, something in the area. So what happens, you get off the exit, then you have to keep doing your researching of the alternatives to what we call identify the best street for you to work and live on and be around people who have similar likes and dislikes that you have, enjoy doing similar tasks that you enjoy, and enjoy solving similar problems. So if you can get yourself on the right street and the right career, you're going to get paid, as we say, for an ideal job, which means you get paid for doing something you really enjoy. And I'll use you as an example. You're probably doing something that you really enjoy and you're getting paid for it. So how much better could it be?
Can't get any better.
That's right.
And basically, as your last chapter points out, it's your decision.
Absolutely. And it should be. And that's another issue that we try and address in the book, that people have to accept the responsibility that it's their decision and stop blaming other people for their inability to be, you know, to make good decisions.
And understand, too, that those who seem to have your best intentions at heart may, in fact, not be truthful in that regard. So we need to, you know, take in a lot of information before we make the decision, but then make the one that really feels right for us. And it's sometimes it's tough to block out those other people when it comes time to actually move ahead and stick with the choice that you've made.
Right. And one of the toughest things for decision makers is if you're being influenced by other people, you're going to have to defend your choice as the best choice for you, even if it's the one that they don't think you should choose. And the best way to do that is be, you know, make the decision yourself, do it properly, use the process, and then you can defend your decision and say, hey, you think I should do that. That's fine. I chose that as an alternative. I researched it, but it's not, it didn't meet my most important needs and wants. I chose the other option, and this is why I did it. But most people, rather than, you know, defend it, they end up getting in arguments about it and conflicts because they didn't do their homework.
Well, Al and Denise, how do we get your book?
A number of ways. I mean, obviously, you can go to the Author House website. You can go to our website, to be honest with you. If somebody wants to get information about the book or creating Cultures of Student Success, they can look on our website. We have a consulting business called Life Decisions Group, and our website is www.lifedecisionsgroup.com. And on there, you can read about the book, read about us, and read about creating cultures of student success. And you can also get it on all the major bookstores and online bookstores, whether it's Amazon or Borders or whatever.
Well, we want to thank you both for being on Author Talk.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Steve.
That was Albert Fodorero and Denise Schmidt. They're the authors of their book, It's Your Decision, A Common Sense Guide to Making Better Choices.